Hello, everybody. Let me know if you can hear me or not. I am trying to get everybody situated. There is Coach Heather. Let's see. Make a co-host. Yes, 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 yes. Good morning, everybody. I am coming in hot from the Orange Theory. I am still literally sweating. Let me see. I'll get everybody set up in here. I'm going to mute everybody. All right. Gosh, there's a lot of buttons to click. You know it? Lots of buttons to click. Let's see. Julie is here. There's so many buttons. Then we have Coach Betsy. I'll unmute all of y'all in just a second. There is Emily. Let's see. Coach Kira, Coach Yesenia. All the people. Let me see. I hope everybody's having a great Saturday. Is everybody having a good day? I am, like I said, still sweating from... Oh, Kara, I put you in the waiting room. Which Yesenia, I didn't mean to. I clicked the wrong button. Too many dang buttons. Where did Yesenia go? Yesenia, raise your hand again, please. Okay. Ask to unmute. Let me see. Is anybody, all of my people able to unmute themselves? I asked to unmute y'all. There we go. Gosh, so many buttons. So many buttons. It's like click, 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 click. All right. How is everybody doing this morning? We got lots of people in here. I'm so excited to see. I brought my coffee this morning. I have been on vacation this week. So today was my first day back at Orange Theory. They welcomed me with a terrible, difficult workout. Thank you, Orange Theory. Lots of running.
Robin Martinez is like running or something.
Right. So everybody in this meeting is muted unless I unmute you, because there's so many people. We don't want people to be unmuted. So whenever we get to the Q&A portion, if you raise your hand and you want to ask us a question, you totally can. And I'll unmute you. I see Robin Martinez is working out this morning. Robin. There she goes. There she goes. Judy's rocking in her neighborhood, looks like. I love it. Love it. Love it. So nice. All right, y'all. We'll get started. We'll just get started and do some things. I'm trying to make sure everybody, Yesenia got in. Are you unmuted, Yesenia?
Yep. I'm good to go. Okay.
All right. All right. So here is what we are going to do. We are going to, this is just a community call. So it's like, get to know us, see what we're like, all that other kind of stuff. So I have told them I told the coaches and Emily kind of what we're talking about, but you know, I'm going to throw them a monkey wrench. You know, I have to like, there's going to be a surprise, right? Because what fun would it be if I don't put them on the hot seat? So this time I don't want to know anything about weight loss. We're not going to talk about how much weight we've lost. None of that. I want to know your name, what you do at No BS, and tell me if you're married or not, do you have kids or not, do you have pets or not? Just a little bit about us, like as people, not just as coaches who have lost weight and are a part of the most amazing team in the industry. So I'll start. I'm MJ, and I'm the head coach here at No BS. I am married to Mike. I have Layla, Lita, and Mina are my three children. And I have four pets, two dogs and two cats. Dublin and Bo are the dogs, and Noodle and Trey are the cats. So Dina from our community team is here as well. Dina, if you'll just use the reactions at the bottom and raise your hand, and I will be more than happy to promote you to co-host. So I'm just going to go down the list. Heather, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Coach Heather. I do, you know, private coaching here at No BS. I'm the newest coach on the team. I've been here since the end of March. I just got married June 26th. To my high school crush. His name is Stu. I have two teenage boys. Harrison is 16 and Jacob is 19. Harrison's like going into his junior year and Jacob is going into his sophomore year at college. And I have two shepherds. I have a German shepherd named Juno and a Belgian shepherd named Shanti.
All right, Julie.
I am Julie Hanks. I also am married. I've been married 21 years and I do not have children. And my husband and I rescue senior German Shepherds. So we now have one female. Her name is Nala and she is 12 years old.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that about you too. Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily. I am Corinne's assistant. I also help Kathy. I help the whole team. I am married. We've been together 25 years and we have a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old. The oldest is a girl and the youngest is a boy. He's still in high school. We've got 1 year left. I see that finish line. We're so close. And I have a little beagle named Pepsi.
And Emily, I will give her husband a shout out. He is actually a life coach certified through the life coach school. And he helps men who, does he just do drinking coaching? Is that what he does?
No, he's also trained as a personal trainer now. So he works with middle-aged men to get their strongest mentally and physically. He sort of goes towards the blue collar worker because he was a blue collar worker for 20 years. So
that's just interesting because we have so many women who start to do this thought work and then their husbands are like, hey, I want a piece of that. And then they don't know who to contact. So we do have, you know, someone that we, Emily's husband would be fantastic. If your husband, you know, is like, oh, give me a piece of that. So that's always good to know. Let's see. Yesenia.
Hello, everybody. I'm Yesenia. I am a divorced single mama of two girls. I have two girls, 9, and my little one is going to be turning 5 at the end of the month. She's very excited. She asks me just about every day if she's 5 yet because she's very excited for kindergarten. We live in Georgia. My oldest has a cat that she's had like 3 or 4 years now. Her name is Luna. It was like love at first sight. They saw each other across the room and they were like immediately, it was like this magnetic connection. She's the sweetest cat. She lives with my ex-husband now. We co-parent and I'm just having a blast being here at these calls. I love them. Another fun fact is that I actually went to school to be a teacher. I did that for a few years and then I've somehow ended up here, which is great.
Yeah. Kara?
Hello, I'm Coach Kara. I am a coach here at NoBS. I have private clients. I am just a little older than Heather by like maybe 8 days tops, but we were hired very close to the same time. And I am married as well with 3 dogs. We have a golden retriever, Ellie, who is my baby, the only dog we've had since a puppy. And then we have 2 rescues, Sasha and Howie. Sasha is a golden retriever beagle, not golden retriever, I just lied to you, a German Shepherd beagle mix, and the other one is a Pomeranian Chihuahua mix, and they're both extremely cute, and we recently have taken on a couple of pets in the backyard. We have a pool in the backyard, and some frogs laid eggs in like a Rubbermaid container I had left out there, so we have tadpoles, like hundreds of tadpoles. I don't know what I'm going to do when they turn into frogs, but for right now, they've been really fun to watch grow, and we have them at all stages. They've been super fun, but that's been our summer project, is the backyard tadpoles.
Oh my gosh. Dina.
Hi, I'm Dina. I'm on the community team. I always say I'm not a coach, but I play one on TV. No, I don't. I'm not a coach, but I'm on your community team. So many times I'll be under my icon or the community team icon. Some Missy, fabulous Missy, fabulous Heidi, and fabulous Mary Jo are also on the community team, and I'm honored to be on there. I have a husband, a daughter whose birthday is today, 17, a son, two cats, a dog. Many excuses, let me tell you. But yeah, happy to be here.
It's good. I'm glad you could make it, Dina. And then last but definitely never least is Coach Betsy.
Hey, everybody. I'm Coach Betsy. I am married to my amazing husband, Brad. I'm still getting used to that word, husband. Heather, you probably are too. And we've been married almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in October. And no kids. Trying to keep some plants alive. Does anybody else here have an arrow garden? Does anybody have an arrow garden? I'm like growing basil in my arrow garden. They're like my little babies. And they're just growing like, I have to throw away basil, which just kills me. But I'm making pesto all the time. And so those are my little babies. But y'all have also heard me probably talk about my nieces. I have three nieces that I keep every Thursday. And they're like my girls, and they're 3, 4, and 7. So I love to talk about them. Y'all know I'm a coach. I've been around forever. That's me.
Linda says you can freeze basil.
Ooh. I know. But it's like, I mean, it's just, I mean, like, I'm never going to be out of basil. So if anybody loves basil like me and you love to make pesto and stuff, get an arrow garden, and it's like a hydroponic thing, you know, and you put these little pods in, and it's like, you'll never buy basil again. It's amazing. And you can also grow other herbs and stuff. It's super cool. So,
well, that's fun. Yeah. I know I'm successfully keeping my first plant ever of my life alive, and it is absolutely amazing. And I'm like, every day I check it. And I'm looking, and I'll take pictures. I'll post them in the Facebook. I've killed everything that has ever been at my house.
We'll start a plant thread.
That's actually one of my boom goals, is to keep a plant alive.
I am going to tell you, it is absolutely. And my girlfriend came over last night. She was like, they're alive? I was like, I know. It's awesome.
There's two kids alive, you send them, you need to keep a plant. Sorry.
Yeah, but for some reason, like, I don't know, like, they've all died, so.
I will say that those apps are life-saving, because I would forget to water it if it didn't tell me to water them. And then it's like, is it feeling sickly? And I'm like, yes, it is. It's feeling sickly. How do I fix it? And generally, they're saying I'm overwatering it, which is generally what I'm doing.
What is this app? We got to know the app, Kara.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'll have it. I'll put it in the chat.
So we're going to do just kind of one question. Then we'll open it up for questions, if y'all have any questions. And then we'll do breakout rooms for like the last 15 minutes. It's going to be awesome. Y'all get to hang out, see each other, and it's going to be fun. So today we're going to talk about our snacking history. Because we all, like, a lot of us hear all the time, like, how do you include snacks? Like, do you include snacks? Do you not include snacks? At what point did you get rid of snacks? Seems to be a big topic a lot of times here inside NoBS. And so here is the thing. We're going to take, each of us is going to take a minute and talk about our snacking history. What it looked like. Did we snack when we started? What do we do now for snacks? That sort of stuff. So a minute or less. So for me, I was a home health, I worked in a nursing home in physical therapy. And then I was a home health physical therapist. And a lot of times on the way home, even though I was food prepping, I would be starving on the way home. So I tended to overeat my dinner. So I started keeping the snack packs the nut little 100 calorie snack packs in my car, and I would eat that on the way home so that I would not be starving when I got home. That was my that was kind of my snack during the day, whenever I would finally get a break, because I was with patients all day. And then now I don't, for a long time I didn't include snacks, and then I found out on Mondays when I have calls back to back to back, and a lot of times on Wednesdays we have meetings, I was going off plan because I was starving. So I started adding nuts. So I have been snacking, or sometimes I don't snack on Mondays and I eat my lunch when I'm on the phone with Kara. Kara usually sees me eat my lunch. I'm like, I've had it. I cannot take it anymore. I'm starving. I know we're supposed to be meeting, but I'm eating lunch. So, but it was all about my data and looking at my data. When am I going off plan? Because I realized that my schedule was so full on those days that I was not having time to eat sometimes. So I was just grabbing things. So I put nuts on there and intentionally sometimes need to grab those in between meetings. And that helped me a lot. But I would not have known that without my data, which is amazing. You have to keep your data. So I do still snack sometimes a couple of days a week. But if I eat my food, I typically don't snack anymore. So that's my snacking story, and I'm sticking to it. Heather, what's your snacking story?
Oh, it's full of drama. So for years, I had wild blood sugar fluctuations. So I would go like hypoglycemic and get shaky and feel like I was going to die. So I was always attached to snacking. And afterward, I found out I just do better without eating flour and sugar. So if I'm getting really snacky between meals, I know for me, I need to cut down on the flour and sugar. So at this point, I have a kind of a rule, which is if I really want a snack, I plan it with my meal. And I don't want to be someone who snacks, because what happens is I overeat my snack, and then I tend to not be hungry for the next meal. So I try to bunch it all together. And my data also tells me that if I snack after dinner, which is when I have urges, I don't lose weight. So that's why I want to be someone who does not snack. So I'm always trying to manage it. That's my drama-filled snack story.
I love it. All right, Julie.
So for me, also a drama filled. Thanks for saying that, Heather. I used to eat anything salty snack. I craved the salty snacks all the time. And then once I started planning, I realized snack foods are just foods. And so I stopped focusing on breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. And I just make a list of foods I'm going to eat throughout the day. And I pair them together in ways that make sense for my body, which is always a protein with something, carb or snack. So I don't even define it as a snack anymore. It's just food. And if it's a chip or a nut, it's just on the plan as food. I don't tend to crave those any more than anything else now. And when my brain goes to something like a chip, I offer myself other food on my plan first, like protein or fruit or veg. And then I'm willing to add in the chip if I am still hungry.
That's good. I think, you got a comment. They like that. That's really good not to define it as a snack. It's just a food, right? I love that.
Yeah. For me, that really helped. No different than any other food I eat. I do the same exact thing with dessert. It's not dessert anymore. It's just food. It's on the plan. Whatever. It's just all from the first moment I eat to the moment I go to bed. It's all just food.
I know. And it goes back to treats, y'all. How powerful would it be if you just got rid of treats and it's just food?
Right.
What if a donut has the same weight as a steak? Be awesome, wouldn't it? Oh my gosh. Emily.
So I used to be a 3 meals a day and 2 snacks girl. Every day, no matter what. And they were timed. I knew exactly what time those meals were happening. I knew when those snacks were happening. And eventually I realized I didn't need all that food. And I started listening. We do what we do. We listen. These days, I would say 50% of the time I might have a snack. And that time is always the day after I've lifted weights. I'm always hungrier the day after I lift weights. And your body does that on purpose because it's rebuilding muscle. And so on the days after I lift weights, I know to plan a little more food that day. And I don't have snacks. I just have a small portion of a regular meal. So we always have a ton of food prep. So I'll just get like a little portion of something and have that.
That's good. That's good. Kara.
So I've gotten my snacks. I feel like I'm in a good place with them now, but it was drama filled at some point. I was a preschool teacher. My history was I was a teacher. And so graham crackers, I hated them growing up. I didn't ever buy them. But when I was teaching, I did preschools. And so I was a preschool teacher and we would have graham crackers for a snack. And so graham crackers are like, for a long time, they felt like my arch nemesis. And anytime they were around, I needed to have a snack because the preschoolers were having a snack. But I've finally decided that I don't really need a snack, and that generally when my brain is thinking of going to get a snack, it's not really wanting a snack. It's just like, okay, let's do something else. So I have a bowl in our kitchen that it's just a colander, but it's full of different things that come out of the earth. So it's got apples, it's got oranges. I can't eat the oranges. My husband eats those, but it's got a bunch of little, like the grapes sit in there and we keep the strawberries out on the counter. And I know that sounds really weird, but those are like my approved snacking things. And I always have them on the snack line. So, but I treat it a lot like Julie. It's just like any other food. I just like to have something from the ground during snack time, or if I'm going to go grab a snack during the day. I don't always get in as much vegetables as I would like. And so it's been an easy way to slide it in, but I only have things in the bowl that I like. That way, if I know I'm actually hungry, I will eat it and not like dig around in the pantry, but just making it readily available, but something that I've like approved for myself. It's like a protocol, like protocol snacks. And even if we're like out and about or on vacation, you can always find a banana at a gas station or an orange or an apple at a gas station or a little container of grapes. So if I do find that I'm hungry while I'm out, I can always have that too. But it's kind of like a protocol I always keep. But 90% of the time, I don't actually plan a snack. I just write down those fruits that are in the bowl on the snack line.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yesenia.
So this is some of the first work that I did when I joined OBS. I realized I was doing a lot of snacking just because I was bored. I was just grabbing chips, cookies, whatever it was. And so that was, you know, some of the, you know, first thing that I cut out. These days I put a snack on my plan every day, but most days I don't need it. So I put on there just good, better, best if needed. I know for a little while, like whenever I came home from picking up the kids at school, I was tired. I was just kind of wanting a little something. And then I realized, like, am I even hungry? Am I getting physical hunger signals, or am I just kind of tired and not wanting to finish up my work or whatever else I've got going on? And so now I put it on there, but my kind of guideline or rule for myself is like, you know, I need to be feeling physical hunger signals. Most days I'm not feeling those. Like my lunch and my protein shake that I have, like it holds me over really well until dinner. And like Heather, like I don't do no sugar, no flour. I kind of do like a low sugar, low flour. And I find that kind of protocol, I don't need usually a snack. Mm-hmm. And so it holds me over really well. But if I feel a physical hunger signal, I will have like I'll use a smaller plate because it's really just to hold me over until dinner, like for like 90 minutes, maybe a couple hours. And like Julie said, I try to have some protein on there.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, Dina.
Okay. So foodie me and prior Weight Watchers me. I don't think I understood snacks. I thought snacks were treats. And I thought snacks were, you know, 2 points. So the goal was always like, how much can I get in? I didn't even understand the concept of waiting till you're hungry or, you know, it was like, this is a treat. This is a party. Yes. So I feel like my evolution of snacking has really changed. Because before I used to just put it on there because that's what I thought we did since it was the 2 points. It was just the habit. So when joining No BS, I didn't even think about if I was hungry or not. It was just going to be on there. Mm-hmm. And then I got really excited. Foodie Me got excited. So I was like, wait, I can eat everything? Why am I eating garbage, snacks when I can have brie and grapes? This is amazing. So that became my snack. But then later it transformed to, like Yesenia said, like, let's think about, am I even hungry? Like, this is not a mini party in the middle of the day. Am I hungry? Oh, that's a concept. Let's think about that. And so I started playing with that. And yes, I noticed that at first I was hungry. Like, I was ready for a snack in the afternoon. But then I started thinking, why am I hungry? Like, am I not supposed to last? So when I started toying with lunch and putting more protein at lunch, adding more nuts and seeds to my salad at lunch, now I don't even need a snack, which that took a lot of, thought work, because the urges at night and urges for snack were something that I had to have truth talk with myself. Like, you're not hungry, cut it out, and had to work on that. So yeah, it has been a snacking evolution, which is really exciting if you think about it.
Yeah. What about you, Betsy?
I just love, like, I think y'all are seeing, we're seeing a common theme here where we all had like some drama around snacks and like we figured it out, right? That's what we do as No BS women. So right there with y'all, had the drama, like went back and forth, like, should I have the snack or not? And then finally I was just like, okay, how can I figure this out? And like, how can I utilize the plan to figure this out? And I mean, I always lean towards like, what can I plan? And then work on my thoughts around whether I have it or not. But it's not a matter of it not being on the plan or not, because that adds more drama, right? And so I'm like, okay, I love some nuts sometimes. Like, I always measure them out. I don't overeat them. And I also love fruit. And like, I find that, like, Corinne talks about having the watermelon with her lunch and stuff, but like, I just never eat fruit with a meal. Like, usually I'm just satisfied. And so I'm not like eating the fruit, but I love fruit. I want to eat fruit. Fruit is good for you. As Kara said, like, it comes from the ground or from a tree or whatever. Like, fruit is okay. And so I just decided one day that that fruit and nuts, like measured out, nuts that I like they are just part of my plan all the time. Like, I mean, and we kind of used to call it like protocol, but it's just like, even if I forget to put them on there, I am not overweight because I have a fruit and nut problem. Like, I eat too many fruits and nuts. It's like, this stuff is okay. And I just had to have that conversation with myself. And so now fruit and nuts, I usually write it down every day on my plan, but every once in a while I forget, but I don't ever like, it's always just part of my plan. And I love that, because then if I do get hungry in the afternoons, usually I average maybe like having my fruit or nuts 2 or 3 times a week. But it's just on the plan every day. But most of the time I don't need it, but it's just always there. And it's just like a tool for me, and it just helps me. And I like it. I mean, but every once in a while, like the other day, I had pistachios. Pistachios are fun, y'all. Especially like, you get to take the shells off and all of that. It's like a, game. And sometimes they can get a little bit too fun for me. And so the other day I was having all the thoughts, all the feelings, and I stood in my kitchen and I ate my serving of pistachios standing up. And I didn't follow my plan that day because I didn't love my reasons for eating those pistachios. I wasn't truly like physically hungry. And I was just looking for some entertainment at that point. So I don't ever do it perfectly. None of us do. And so I always just ask myself if I like my reasons. And if I don't, then I do a discovery worksheet and I learn from it and I move on. So
I love that. Like, you can see that all of us still work on it all the time. There's still like thoughts and that whole equal airtime conversation that we have to have sometimes. And I mean, it's not like we join No BS and then we're like, and now we don't snack, or now we have this relationship. Like, it has changed all throughout this journey. And like, once I've started working at home, it changed again. Like, my relationship again changed with it. So it's like just being willing to keep looking at it and exploring it and deciding if you know, if we do want to have snacks, like whatever we want to do, we get to, it just keeps changing, which is amazing. So we have got about 15 minutes for questions. If anybody has any questions, I want to ask anybody on the panel, feel free to go down to reactions and raise your hand. You'll see the raise hand option at the very bottom. Raise your hand and then I will ask to unmute you and then we can chit chat. So Robin, I'm going to ask to unmute you.
Hi. Hi. Hey. Thanks for calling on me. I still have troubles with the physical hunger versus the mental or emotional hunger. Can you guys share with me how you guys know the difference? Thanks.
I'll start. I do a test for myself. Like I have a list of foods that I consider to be totally neutral that I would never overeat or even feel emotional about. So that includes like a plain Greek yogurt. It includes carrot sticks and plain hummus. And it includes apple. All of those things I like, but I know that I won't overeat them and I don't eat them when I am emotional. So I offer myself those foods first. And then if I am satisfied with that, I know there's a physical hunger there. And for me, if I'm sitting there saying to myself like, oh, I don't want that. I want this. Instantly, I know I want this voice is my emotional voice. And I know it isn't real hunger for me.
I do the exact same thing. That's why my bowl of fruit is all the fruit I like. But if I'm like going for the pantry, that's generally emotional. And then I'm like, okay, what are we trying to feel here? What are we trying to fix here? And that's where I like, no, okay, we got to be an investigation. We got to start looking at this, put on the lab coat. What's going on? What are we trying to fix?
And I want to congratulate Robin for even noticing that, because I didn't even notice that for a long time. I remember the first time that I noticed that, I was on the phone. I had just eaten lunch, was on the phone with my mom. She was worried about something. When I got off the phone, I was worried then too. And then I got hungry, you know, then I was like, oh, we should eat something. And I was like, what? You know, the angel and the devil, like, I just ate, where is that coming from? And when I noticed it, it is really similar to hunger. It's almost like your body brings up these hunger cues. So Robin, that's an excellent question, because I didn't even realize till that moment. So congratulate yourself for catching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Linda Buffalo. Oh, wait, no, it's not letting me. Jumping around, stupid thing. Zoom. Linda.
There
you go. There you go. Yes, ma'am.
I'm also not completely computer savvy, but
okay.
I've noticed I plan a snack every day, one snack. And in the afternoon, I can always tell when it's around 2 or 3 o'clock. I think, okay, I'm getting a little hungry, so I have that one snack. And then I think, well, boy, that tasted really great. Let's have another one and another one and another one. So by dinner time, I'm not hungry. But then I want to eat with my husband, so I eat with my husband. So I've blown it for that day. I would like some wisdom on the snacking, because I physically need the snack in the afternoon. I have hyperglycemic, so I get really tired and cranky, and it's hard to live with me. So how do you plan like an afternoon snack and stop at that plan? Maybe my snacks are things that I love too much. Any suggestions?
Who will say, Heather, you talked about hypoglycemia and not feeling well. What do you have any advice for Linda?
I do. First thing is, if you do think you're hungry, I would try to make it protein and or fat together, which will satiate you much better. If it's flour and sugar, that can mess your mess up your leptin signal, which tells you that you're full. So I would, that's the first thing I would recommend. And then I would also set up a reward system for sticking with just one snack. Like, can you do something nice for yourself? How can you celebrate just one snack and set yourself up for success? If you still want a second, I would encourage you to journal first, like your reasons. And then if you still want a second one, then do that and repeat, repeat, repeat. So like, it's a lot of things that you need to have to do before you take the next snack.
And the reward, Linda, one of the rewards, because this, I think about this all the time, because I have a lot of urges in the afternoon. Like after I eat lunch, I'm not hungry at all, but it's like, let's eat all the things. That would be fun. But you said you want to eat dinner with your husband, and I do too. And like, that's what I think about. I'm like, and I want to be hungry when I'm eating dinner with my husband, right? That's our time together most days, is us. And so it's like, that's a reward for you, right? And so when you have that urge for that second snack, think about, do I want this second snack? Or do I want to really be good and hungry and eat dinner with my husband and enjoy our experience together, like eating dinner together, right? Because that, you said that's important to you. So, and it's important to me too. So that's, that can help you allow that urge for more food after you have that one snack and you know you're good until dinner.
And I will tell you, I was getting ready. I was listening to Corinne's Q&A from the 7th, July 7th. She goes through the whole entire process of like wanting something and choosing not to have it. And she talks about this idea of parenting yourself. And it's like the urge is just a sentence that's running through your head that's creating the urge. And it's like, of course I want it. I love this, whatever food it is. Like it's real. It tastes really amazing. But here's what you really want. You really want, like Betsy was saying, you really just want to be hungry for to have dinner with your husband. Like that's what you really want. Yeah, I might want the snack in the moment, but you know, always think about like, you know, your kids want to go out in a thunderstorm. Of course you want to go outside, but now is not the time to go outside. Like we can lovingly tell other people things. We need to learn how to lovingly tell ourselves no as well. Emily, did you have something?
I was just going to say, I'd also watch the thought, I've blown it, because you mentioned that. And I would really keep an eye out for that thought, I've blown it, because it's really setting yourself up for failure as well. And you did stop snacking eventually. So that right there is a win. And just keep an eye out for that thought, because it's not going to help you. I'm trying to think of other thought subs, any of the
coaches. Yeah, you just made some choices during the afternoon. You decided to eat then instead of waiting until dinner. And that's okay too, right? It's like that was just some choices that you made. And then you're working on making other choices and you can start that process tomorrow.
And you're going to do a discovery worksheet and learn from it, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Linda. Janelle.
Hey there. My question is, how do y'all deal with boredom snacking? I'm a nurse. I'm an oncology nurse. And I have recently gone from, running up and down the halls, hanging chemo all day, to sitting at a desk, being a clinic nurse, you know, answering phones and computer and that kind of thing. So I find myself, you know, just kind of reaching for that snack just out of boredom, out of bullshit, out of let's just, you know, whatever. It's something to do with my hands, I think, because I'm so used to, you know, doing stuff with my hands all day that now I just, you know, something else to do besides the fucking computer work, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the most millennial answer in the whole world. So everybody to brace themselves. But I started picking a game on my phone and playing because you said hands, and that's exactly what that is. And I understand you're a nurse. You may not be able to be on your phone. And a lot of time the boredom eating is at work, and it's okay to eat at work, but not necessarily play on your phone. But I think our phone is a fantastic tool because it can tell us a whole lot about us, but it's also something we can do other than eat. And it can still be something we do to relax, but it's also not eating. So I switched to doing things with my phone versus eating with my hands.
And I would also like to offer, like, your thought is, I need something to do with my hands, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's just a thought that you have that's creating this urge. Like, you probably like floor work better. Like, for me, I was a physical therapist. I would for sure rather be with my patients than sitting in front of a computer. My favorite part of my job now is doing stuff like this, meeting with my private clients, not, you know, building out a website or doing this other stuff. Like, it's not my favorite thing. And so I notice, like, whenever I'm doing things like that, I do have thoughts like, I wish I was doing so-and-so. This is, you know, this, I'm so much better whenever I'm with my clients, or I do such a better job with my patients. This is, you know, not as much fun as being with my clients. And so you have all of those thoughts. You probably have thoughts about doing this computer work, and it's time to sit down and you can look at some of those. Yes, Betsy?
I would challenge you, like, you're not bored. You don't want to do your work, right? Yeah. That's what you're thinking. So let's not kid ourselves, right? It's like, what does it really mean to be bored? I've thought a lot about this. Like, it's not that we have nothing to do, right? You got plenty to do. You got that fucking computer work, as you said, to do. So it's not that you're bored. You are not wanting to do what your job in that moment, right? So I think it's just getting honest about what your thought really is in that moment. And then being like, okay, so it's not that I'm bored. I'm just not wanting to do what I'm being paid to do right now. So let's get honest first. And then you can, from there, you can just, you know, be with that for a minute and then just be like, okay, what do I want to think about this? You know, we got all the actions, right? You got all the ideas in the chat for your actions. But if you're not looking at your thoughts, then the actions aren't going to help, right? It's, you got to really think about, what do I want to be thinking about? Like, is it, you know, can I think it's okay for me to take a break for a minute, right? And then you go and try some of these actions, yeah. right? But you don't want it to be coming from a place of, you know, I don't want to do my work and I, you know, or like, it's okay that I don't want to do my work right now, right? We just got to get real about what we're currently thinking and not just jump to the action line, you know, immediately.
Are yeah. you saying we have to look at our BS?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. Cinda. Oh, I like that name. I think I said it right.
Hello.
Hey.
You know, Coach Betsy, a long time ago, I heard you talk about babysitting your nieces and wanting to eat their snacks. And I go visit my grandchildren and I want to eat their graham crackers and their fruit snacks and stuff that I never even have at my house. And I'm wondering if you overcame that urge and how you did it.
Yes, I have, y'all. And I am celebrating the fuck out of that every single Thursday when I go and babysit them.
How do you?
And you know, what I did?
What?
I started putting all that stuff on my plan. Every single Thursday, this is what I would do. I would Marco Polo my accountability partner on my way to babysitting. I would drive there and I would go inside and I would open up the cabinet and look at all of their snacks. And then I would tell my accountability partner, okay, when I get there, I'm going to finalize my plan and I'm going to text you and tell you that I did my plan. And I started planning all that stuff, graham crackers, chips, cookies, whatever it was. Like, I was like, I'm not going to make a plan before I get there. And then they have some like good stuff there that I'm going to want. Like, we got to be living in the real world here, people. And so like, I'm not going to set myself up for failure. So I just decided to start planning all that stuff. I've been doing that for a few months. And now, I mean, I continue to do that because you never know what's going to be at their house that I might want. And I am not setting myself up for failure. So I still continue to do that. But then over time, I'm like, okay, it's on my plan, but do I really want it? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But that's what's been successful for me. And you can do that.
That's amazing to me. I never considered giving myself permission to have it. And I have it every time I go there.
Mm-hmm. You have it anyway.
I bring my own food in a cooler sometimes to try to not eat there.
You eat it anyway, so why not give yourself permission to have it?
Yes, that's genius.
Then you're gonna, over time, you're a lot less likely to overeat it because you've given yourself permission to have it.
Exactly.
And it just takes the power out of it. It just takes the big dealness out of it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, Monica, we're going to answer your question and then we're going to do breakout rooms. Ask unmute. There you go.
Hello. I have a question about chocolate almonds. I've been coached on this before, but I created this very lush story around eating chocolate almonds after dinner. It's become like this experience for me. I don't like my raisins because it feels out of integrity with myself. I know that I'm truly not hungry. I've tried to incorporate them in different times throughout the day, like after lunch or even before lunch, so that I can kind of get them in and enjoy them. But on those days, I find that I'm overeating. Do you have any suggestions on what I can do either to unwind the super lush story that I have around these chocolate almonds, or just how I can move forward.
My whole thing is, I always tell my private clients this. Whenever you find yourself talking about your food like it's a lover, you're never going to break up with it. If it's the best lover you've ever had, you're going to be like, hey, I ain't giving that up. No. So it is like that whole like story that you have about it, that you do have to start changing, because it's like, what is it really doing for you though? Like, what does it really do for you at the end of the day? Oop, you're muted. Let me see if I can get you to unmute again. Go ahead.
I think it's become this, like a part of this ritual that I have in the evening. Maybe it feels like fun. It feels like a release. It feels almost like self-care. Because I am now allowing myself to eat something that I truly want, to plan for something that I truly want and truly enjoy. And so even down to the experience, like I will, put one almond in my mouth and let the chocolate melt. And it's just like, I don't know if it's the dopamine. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it feels so good.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any other items that fulfill the need for fun and release besides food at that time of day?
I do. I mean, I go to games on my phone or, spending time with my fiance or picking up the call. But I don't think nothing really equals that experience. And it could be just the story. I also don't want to not eat them. I just want to eat them from a place where I'm hungry and then I can truly enjoy them more, if any of this makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the question you want to ask yourself is, what am I needing a release from? How am I living my life day to day throughout the day that I'm needing a release, that I'm not having any fun? I'm not enjoying myself. Like, I'm ending the day in this way. Why? What's going on there? Like, what's the thinking happening all throughout your day that by the end you're like worn out and you're wanting a release?
Yeah.
And then the other thing, I mean, a good thing to track, Corinne used to always have us like, whenever I first started back in the way back day, she would tell us to like, one day just don't eat. It was probably Betsy probably told me to. Don't eat and just keep a notebook and like snack on your thoughts. Like, what am I thinking right now? What is going on? So you could even, since it's something that you really want to include, portion it out. Like, everything that came in this house got portioned out before it ever went in the pantry, and put the amount that you really want to have and then eat that amount just like you eat it now, and then put it away, and then get a notebook with a pen and a piece of paper. And I can promise you, everything you think about that thing, all of it will come up. You'll get a chance to write it down in that moment, and go back and listen to that Q&A from Corinne on the 7th. It was so good. It was like, can I just, and she talks about like, can I just wait 10 minutes? Like I can have more if I want it, but can I just wait 10 minutes? And instead of busying yourself during that 10 minutes, can I have nice thoughts about myself for that 10 minutes? Instead of like, okay, I got to wait 10 minutes. And then she was talking about, it's just really good. Like she talks about during that 10 minutes, how a lot of times you're like, and then I'll just go do this thing. And then the whole time you're thinking about, I hope it goes away. I hope it's done in 10 minutes. I hope I don't want it in 10 minutes. I hope I finish. Like it's not a big deal in 10 minutes. And it's like the whole process of that, like 10 minutes that you give yourself and what that looks like for you. It really, like, it was probably one of my favorite Corinne calls that she's done in a very long time. It was so, all of them are good. Who are we kidding? But it's one of my favorites in a long time. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. I will give that a try. I appreciate it.
All right. So here's the plan. Here's the plan. We are going to do the breakout rooms. If you do not want to go, but here's the thing before you leave, remember, you need to talk, but you don't have to have on your screen. And everybody on the panel will be broken out into a room. So there may be a no BS team member in your room. You may not want to miss it. Just saying. All right. So here's the thing. It is 11:50. At 12:05, I will bring you back in here. If you come back within the first 10 minutes, you will be broken out into a room. I can also promise you, if you leave now, you don't, and because you don't want to participate, that's totally fine. There will be nothing going on. You do not have to come back. If you do not want to come back, you're not going to miss a dang thing. You're not going to miss nothing, a whole bunch of nothing. So let me see. Let me see.
MJ, do you have some guidelines for what they want to be talking about in the breakout rooms?
Yes. So it's any ahas that you had, anything you're like, oh my God, did you hear what they said? I think I'm going to try that. This is going to be so amazing. I'm so excited about trying whatever it is. Or, you know, if you have something that you, this was all a lot about snacks. If you have something that you are like, y'all, I used to want snacks all the time. And here is exactly what I've done. And it has been so amazing. And maybe, you know, y'all want to try that. That is totally something that y'all can talk about as well. Okay. All right. So at 5 after the hour, wherever you're from, it'll be 5 after the hour. Y'all will all come back. Let me see. All right. It's going to be just like Star Trek. I love it. I think I got it figured out. So now it really is always Star Trek. All right. All right, y'all. All right. I don't know why some of y'all did not go. If you want to be in a room, it's saying I cannot put you in a room. So for those of you who are left, if you're still in here, you might want to leave and then you can come back. So you can go in a room, which I don't know why it does that every once in a while. Because it won't let me assign you to a room. I wonder if I put you in the waiting room. Let me see. Let's see if I put in the waiting room. And then I bring her back. Do you want to go in a room or? Oh. Oh. Edwina, yeah, we our call started at an hour ago, and so now we've talked about snacking, and now we have broken out into breakout rooms, and they will be coming back in about 5 minutes, and then we're just going to end the call. So, but it will be on your replays within 24 to 48 hours. So you can watch it there and get all of the snacking wisdom that we have. Okay. Everybody's coming back. They should be back in about 30 seconds. Here comes everybody. Here everybody comes. All right, y'all. I hope that y'all had an amazing time. I love these calls. We will be doing them once every month, and it's going to be awesome. So I hope everybody had a good time. I hope y'all have a fantastic Saturday. And I just, you know, just be no BS woman that y'all are, you know, meant to be. Make good choices. Can you just wait a few minutes? Can you just ask yourself if you're really hungry whenever it's time for a snack, or you think that it might be time for a snack? And then go listen to that July 7th call. That is your homework from the coaches, the July 7th Q&A. It's all about how to have that equal airtime conversation. Y'all have a great weekend, and we will see y'all in the Facebooks. We'll see you in the Ask Coaches everywhere. Bye, y'all.